big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Is there anybody there?
I can't find the thing.
I can't turn it off.
Hello.
Why am I on it end?
Just press stop, you.
I can't find
clown.
It. Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, no, here we go. Ha ha. Oh, no, that's us. Oh, here we go. Ha ha! That was scary,
right.
Wasn't it?
That yeah.
Were you scared?
It was seamless as well.
Welcome to a dark and haunting episode of the Mick Wall Pod, a special Halloween
edition.
Of the Mick Wall Pod, starring Count Dracula, Johnny James Vampira.
Wow.
Hi, John.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you got into it. Towards the end there, it got better.
Well, it's our scary Halloween episode. For those of you out there already terrified, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get much worse.
It's going to get very scary.
Yeah.
So, John.
Yes.
In rock and metal terms, when we're talking Halloween, and I don't mean the band Halloween.
No, thank God.
I mean Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean witches and wizards and black cats.
Yeah.
And broomsticks. Huh? Huh? It's all right, John. He's trembling. He's all upset. It's okay. You'll be all right. So listen, why don't you kick us off with, where shall we begin?
Oh, I don't know. Okay, well, let's start with I was playing the other day, which is pretty good. Because it's the month of October, isn't it? It's when all of the podcasts are about ghosts and supernatural and the occult. So I've been listening to a few of those.
Have you?
I listened to Unexplained, which is great. I've listened to that for a long time. It's a very good pod.
Is it a scary pod?
Yeah. It's about things that are unexplained, Mick.
Right.
Yeah. And also
like Axel's hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, things like that. And Uncanny, that's another one that's good.
Uncanny?
Yeah, which has just become one of those pods that's just become a TV show and a live show.
Did you think that could happen to us, John?
Well, I'm sure it could. Yeah.
I'm sure we could be. It'd just be a great.
I'm sure it's something you talk about endlessly.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what you mean. So anyway, go on.
So is it? And it struck me. Yeah. I should listen to a band I used to really like back in the day.
Called
Demon. Do you remember Demon?
Vaguely.
They were from Stoke-on-Trent.
Ah, I see. That's an evil part
the
of the world.
The nexus of evil.
It is
Stoke-on-Trent.
Gateway to Hell.
Exactly. And I remember their first album, which was called Night of the Demon.
Oh.
And it had a cover of a...
I do remember this,
A grave being ripped open with hands pulling entrails. I mean, it was just right up my street as a kid. And Malcolm reviewed it in
Malcolm Doane.
Yeah.
Well, he was evil.
He was evil.
We used to call him Dr. Evil.
But you see, what they did was they kind of hedged their bets in that they did. Side one was like super evil and was Night of the Demon. And the other side was just like regular rock stuff. By the time they got to their second album, which is called The Unexpected Guest, I find that there are parts of that album that are genuinely unnerving.
Really?
Particularly at the start, they do this kind of backwards played intro track where they're just all chanting, rise, 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 rise. And it's quite atmospheric. It's pretty good. And then they go into the sort of... by this point, they've taken on notions of the occult. And, you know, they're all about take your place in the circle, you know, join hands. And yeah, you summon things. You summon this mystical arcane
The word
knowledge.
Is you invoke.
Exactly. You
the
invoke.
Invocation.
The invocation. And there are all those sorts of things going on in The Unexpected Guest, which is a terrific album. So I was playing a bit of that. It made me think, I did interview Demon. And,
interviewed Demon.
Yeah, and they told one great story, which was because we obviously went onto the subject. And they said when they recorded, I think it was Night of the Demon especially, like lots of strange things happened in the studio. And, you know, it was all that kind of thing. Which they were pretty straightforward blokes down the line from Stoke-on-Trent. Singer was a guy called Dave Hill. And the guitarist was a bloke called
Dave
Matt.
Haunted.
Dave Haunted Hill. Yeah.
Haunted House on the
Hill. Yeah, that was him, yeah.
Yeah, I knew
and
that.
And the guitarist was a guy called Mal Spooner, who did The Unexpected Guest, and then he died quite young. He wasn't a particularly sort of well guy. But here comes the story. Right?
Hang on. He died.
Yeah, not in
but
mysterious...
But was still in the band.
Yeah, right, yeah. Still
he was reborn as Thrakul.
Yeah.
Thrakul.
So anyway, here's the story. So they do these first two albums. They get a bit of attention, but they don't really make it, if you know what I mean.
Like, and basically they don't make it.
They don't make it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you actually
But they're still going. They've still got fans, you know. So they can still tour and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Tour.
It's not like they're finished. It's just like they're not a really big
band. And do
band
they play like graveyards and upside down crosses?
Here's the thing. So like probably... I mean, five or six albums literally on from The Unexpected Guest. But by this time, I've joined Kerrang. I'm doing an interview with David. And I went to Stoke-on-Trent. It was a place called Stone, which is out. It's in the Peak
Stone.
District.
Stone.
It's in the Peak
Stone.
District. Yeah, like,
everybody knows that is the Stone of the Devil.
Well, there you go. That's where we were.
The Devil's Stone.
You know who I went with? I'll tell you who I went with. Hey, up, Matey McTaggart.
Oh,
Steve
no.
McTaggart, yeah.
Hold up. All
yeah.
right, mate.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah,
yes.
him, yeah. Me and McTaggart went.
Remember he used to manage a band?
Tarazara.
Oh, Tarazara!
Because it took about, yeah, can you imagine how long it took to get to Stone in the car? All the way, McTaggart's like, Tarazara! Whatever the bloke was called in Tarazara, I can't remember his name now. But anyway, we get to Stone and we do...
Stone.
They'd done this
was
out.
It like a stone circle?
Yeah, it was.
Ruins.
And that's where we stood, and it was like. Yeah,
were they in cloaks?
Yeah, they lifted there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very spooky.
Any birds?
No.
Okay.
No. It's not like the kind of Hammer horror films where you've got
yeah.
Britt Eklund dancing
yeah.
naked.
No Britt Eklund?
No, nothing like
no
that.
No Britt Eklund in Stoke-on-Trent.
Sadly.
Who'd
no.
have thought?
Yeah, who
I
would
don't
have thought?
Believe that.
So they'd done this album, and Dave Hill starts telling this story, and it was basically that the album Breakout had a drawing on the front of it, and it was of a scrapyard. You know, like when they used to stack cars one on
oh,
top
yes.
of each other.
Yes, the haunted
yeah.
scrap.
And there was a kid in front of it, but it was a line drawing. You know,
right.
it wasn't a photograph or anything like
right.
that. But
it was a
he'd done a photo session, and in my head, the photo session was with Ray Palmer. I don't know if that's absolutely right or not. In my head, it was with Ray, but they. The reason I think it was probably Ray is they said, let's go to a scrapyard and do, you know. So they find this tower of cars to do the photos in. And they said to Dave...
Was it next door to a pub?
No, it was next door to a graveyard.
Ah, because it was a pub, that'd be Ray, wouldn't
I don't
it?
Know, yeah, probably would.
I know this wonderful place. It's yeah. right next yeah, door yeah. to a pub.
So whoever it was, whether it was Ray or whoever, said to Dave, right, why don't you climb up into the top
tower.
Of the car stack, you know.
Oh.
So Dave's like, all right, do it. So he climbs up there, climbs into the top car, gets in it, and they do the photos. When he comes down, like Dave Hill is white as a ghost. You know, he's like, fuck, what?
Is this the one who died?
No. This
oh,
is, but don't jump oh, in. Oh, just oh, listen oh, to the story. Yeah, so Dave Hill comes down, and he's clutching in his hand a little... medicine bottle, you know, the sort of bottle that you have tablets in.
Yes, yes.
And he looked at the label, and bearing in mind this is sort of 7 or 8 years after Mal Spooner had died.
Right.
Looks at the label on these tablets, and they are Mal Spooner's tablets. And the car he'd climbed into was Mal's old car.
Fucking hell.
What about that?
Whoa.
That was spooky.
That was very spooky. Yeah. Very, very spooky.
And they had lots of stories like that about things that had happened to them, you know, when they were making these records.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I struggle to top that one, John, but...
Well, you know the grand magus of them all.
Mr. Page.
Mr. Jimmy Page. I mean, it's his time of year. He's going around in his bloody cloak and all the rest of it, isn't he?
He is covering the country from, what's that terrible restaurant he likes going to, the cheap one? Nando's.
Did he go to Nando's? Page goes to Nando's.
There was a fantastic picture of him leaving Nando's with his new girlfriend, yeah, old enough to be his great-granddaughter, a few years back. And it was just making fun, saying, yeah, Jimmy knows how to treat a girl right.
It's like all the Nando's, when it came out, was massive with the England cricket team. And they were all obsessed with getting this Nando's black loyalty card that they used to give to famous patrons. And it basically meant you just got it for free. You just go to Nando's for nothing.
Oh,
yeah,
That's different. I'd give that a go.
Well, I wonder if Pagey's got one.
I bet he has.
He's
fucking
straight in
tight
with
my, he's straight in there, mate.
Yeah, black card. I'll have the extra fries.
Meets a nice new bird. He's like, I know
where
to take
dinner.
You.
I'll take you to dinner.
Somewhere nice.
Choose whatever you want.
Off the menu.
Yeah.
And they have the great sauces in the bowls.
Yeah, well, you choose how hot you want it, don't you?
You can have hot,
yeah.
Very hot. And very, very hot.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Doc McGee took me to a fabulous... Did I tell you this story? Like a genuine chicken shack when we were in Nashville about, you know, midnight or something. Because everything in Nashville just closes at 10.
Yeah.
This is before lockdown. But you find these places and it's kind of like an outdoor...
Oh, it's like... Yeah.
Yeah.
A chicken shack. Where they sell you crawdads and things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's mainly black and me and Doc. And they do three kinds. They do, it's just chicken, right?
Yeah.
They do hot.
Which, knowing that area of the America,
would be
red hot as you could ever eat.
Insanely hot,
yeah.
Like evil
That's
hot.
The hot.
That's the hot.
That's the hot.
Then there's very, very hot, which they don't recommend. They don't even, yeah. We don't recommend it. So
don't
now
even
you
look
want
at
it.
Don't even look at it.
Hot, very, very hot, and shut the cluck up. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
I'm going to Doc. I want the
He's
going,
no,
he
you
goes,
don't.
Listen, Mick, the last time we had a guest at the house that had shut the cluck up, it was this guy, Alfredo de Fonsaluni, you know, and he goes, he likes his hot food, you know, he's used to it. He said, but we came here late at night after a few drinks. He got shut the cluck up. I just got hot. That's really fucking hot. He said, I came down about 5 a.m. and he was still in the dining room, pouring with sweat, literally. And he goes to the doc, I think I need to go to the emergency room. Okay, I got to try it.
Yeah.
He goes, no, Mick,
no,
trust me.
You don't want
you don't
to.
Want
to
try that. So,
yeah.
But I got. They were doing T-shirts. I got one saying, shut the cluck up.
Excellent.
Very good. Oh, yeah.
Very good.
So back to horror.
Yeah.
I once...
The Magus is coming out of Nando's.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jimmy, I mean, the difference between Jimmy, say, and Cradle of Filth.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, they presented themselves as the authentic face of...
Which they were.
Which they were. Jimmy never did anything obvious like that, because you don't if you're the real thing, you know.
Yeah.
But... When I first knew him, he took me to his house in Windsor. I think he's gone from there now. I think this was the house Bonzo died in. Because it was only about 7 or 8 years later.
Hang on. He kept the house that John Bonham died in.
Beautiful house. Beautiful house.
But didn't John Bonham, like, die in a swimming pool or something? No.
No, no. He They were rehearsing for an American tour.
Just exploded.
It would be their first American tour since 77, when they had to leave after the big thing with Bill Graham and nearly killing the security guard, and then Plant's boy died. I mean, it was just a fucking nightmare. That was 77, and this is going to be their first time back in America since then. And Bonham was taking some kind of medication, so he wouldn't take heroin. So instead, he was drinking. And the doctor, at the post-mortem, the doctor estimated he had had 32 measures of vodka, which means he'd probably had more, you know. And they put him to bed. You know, he literally just crashed out. They put him to bed. And in the morning, he was dead. So, yeah, we're in that house, yeah. He said, if you want to spend the night, I've got this.
Yeah. But if you could just drink this before you go.
What is it? It's known as the huatoko. What does that mean in English? It means 32 vodkas in one shot. But it was fantastic. I'm sure I've told you this before.
Tell us again. Tell us in a spooky way.
Okay. Wow. I went into this sort of lounge with him. And two big sort of armchairs, like facing a wall. I mean, it's a big house, so it's not like, you know, you've got your nose to the wall. Yeah. But essentially, you sit in these two big couches. There's a wall. And there's some paintings on it or something. Usual stuff that you find on people's walls. And he flips open the armrest on his giant chair. It's like Thunderbirds. He actually flipped it open. There's all these controls there.
Brilliant.
And he presses a button and the whole wall in front of us slides back, slides all the way back, and out comes, like, towards us, the real paintings. Oh, and they're all oil on big canvases. Yeah. He goes, what do you make of this? And I'm looking at that. You're going
like, fuck it, I've got to be honest, Jimmy, I'm a little bit freaked out.
Well, no, because I'm trying to be cool.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, in those days, I mean, I had a skull earring and huge skull rings and leather jacket.
Yeah, but you just got those from the Great Frog.
Yes.
It didn't make you a bloody, you know, dark magician.
No, it didn't. But previous to this, he'd said to me, "Oh, I like your ring." And it was
Did he say it in that voice, that sort of slightly effeminate way?
Yeah.
"Oh, I like your ring."
Not quite like that, obviously, but no, he's very sensitive.
Everybody loves Ace of Spades.
Fuck off. He said, "I like your ring." Goes, "What do you make of this?" And he showed me his ring.
Oh.
And it was a serpent swallowing its own tail.
A serpent swallowing its own tail, Mick.
Yeah, yeah. Even I knew.
Yeah.
Even I knew.
Yeah.
We're past Iron Maiden at this point. You know what I mean? I'm like, cool.
Because
I know it's meant to mean something.
Yeah, track three, but in ring form.
What do you think of it? And he's had it handmade. You can't buy it.
No,
you know?
Of course you can't.
And I'm like, wow, cool. Yeah, cool. You see my bald eagle ring? Of course, years later, when I'm doing the Zeppelin book, 20 years later, I'm doing the Zeppelin book, I look into all this and it's, of course, freighted with deep occult meaning. So next thing I'm looking, we're now at the house.
That was so you've already failed the ring test.
I have failed the ring test, but we're now at the house. What do you think of this? I am not an expert in art, not in the same way I am, say, in music.
Yeah.
a musicologist.
Yeah.
But I am looking, and I do know a tiny bit about art, and I'm thinking, is this Hieronymus Bosch? It's one of those, And it's literally figures twisted in torment. In a sort of vision of hell.
Yeah, it's nice. It's the sort of thing you want in your living room.
Well, no, it's especially, in a concealed wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you can really freak people out when you...
I've got up, I'm having a good look. I'm having a really, oh, my God, you know. I said, who did these? He went, a friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He wouldn't even tell me who did it. Dave Dickinson years later thought it might be that
Dave Dickinson, what, the bloke from Antiques Roadshow?
No, the writer, Dave Dixon. Dixon, sorry.
David Dickinson, Dave. That bloke who's like...
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah,
goes, I told you it was horrific. Yeah. It was horrific. Next thing he walks in, goes, yeah. Now, Jimmy.
Yeah, that, how much is that?
How much is that? Don't take 60, don't take 70. So I'm going, wow, this, I said, wow, this is wow, you know, incredible, you know. And next thing he presses the button and the wall goes back in. And then the sliding wall that conceals it. He's like, come and see the garden.
Oh.
The garden is, you know, like...
It's like The Shining with all the, all the animals made out of topiary. Horrific he's on the, scenes.
It's right on the river. Because that is where all serious occultists will reside, right by a river.
Do they? Mm. Why is that?
Well, if you were to read my Led Zeppelin book,
I have, I don't
when
remember
giants
any of the,
walk
I don't
the
remember
earth.
Any of that stuff.
Well, perhaps you should revisit it, John, this Halloween.
Yeah.
The relevant chapter, which is, the chapter title is...
Chapter 3.
Is, oh, not do that. So mote it be.
Oh, okay.
Mm. So, so he's showing me all this.
So you live by a river, yeah. What's the significance of the river?
There's a. We'll be here all day with this. There's an occult
meaning.
Meaning. The river is important in your invocations, rituals, whatever. And I was like, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Can I go? But one time.
So he didn't like lay anything heavy on you at that stage. He was just sort of testing you out.
Honestly, I looked back and I thought, you fucking idiot. You really blew it. Here was your invitation to the dark stuff. And what did you come up with? Cool.
Yeah. What did Dixon make of it? Because he was a...
Oh, yeah. He said it might be Page had a friend who was an artist who he thinks drew on the bag in Led Zeppelin 4, the original record. There's that picture of the...
Of the hermit,
yeah,
with holding the light,
hermit.
Yeah.
He thinks it might have been that guy,
but
this was really thick oil on paint. It looked old, you know, not of this.
I wonder if it's still there.
Wow, I don't think.
Imagine the bloke doing the survey.
Well, the house he moved to.
Estate agent's details. Charming period. Living room with wall that draws back to reveal horrific imagery of writhing bodies, brackets probably occult in meaning.
Note the adjacent river
and the
small temple, perfect for rituals and invocations.
Sacrifice.
Years later, he moved to another place, even bigger, and I went there once for something or other. And he was having sort of a discussion with his wife. And it was some, you know, high-end magazine wanted to come round and photograph the place because it was, you know, I don't know if it was a listed building, but one of those.
Yeah.
And Jimmy didn't want them to come in because he didn't want them to take pictures that would show in the background the paintings he's got.
Oh, right.
Because apparently that's how art thieves do a lot of their stuff.
Oh, yeah, a lot of case in the joint, yeah.
By seeing, at home with, you know. But I think Jimmy was 100% for real.
Yeah.
He used to talk to me about various brotherhoods he belonged to.
Wow.
Yeah. A funny time, though, was... Over 20 years ago now on Classic Rock magazine, for Halloween, I commissioned a special occult issue.
Right, yeah, good idea.
And on the cover was Cradle of Filth.
Right.
And I went to Danny Filth's house.
Did you?
Yeah. To grill him. In fact, that didn't end up in Classic Rock. I did that, I think, for, not Loaded, but one of those magazines. Anyway,
I'm guessing that Danny Filth didn't have a grade 2 listed, pad by the river in Windsor.
No, he lived in Colchester. He lived in Colchester in a very nice, it's not even a semi, it was a terrace housing. Nice. Colchester is really very nice, you know. But yeah. So we went to the pub and I was determined to absolutely pin him down on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How evil are you?
Yeah.
Are you an adept?
Yeah.
And of course he's not. You know, it was a bit of a fucking waste of time. He did say in the studio, we draw chalk and we all stand in the circle and all that
but
stuff.
Why, if you're not, if you don't know what it means?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's just pretending, I guess.
Yeah.
But his name was Danny Filth.
Yeah.
So I think that's that says something.
It says it all. Jimmy Page should change his name to Jimmy Filth. That's make him a bit more evil. Yeah.
Well, he has a... Well, I can tell you because it won't go any further, but Jimmy does have a secret identity.
Does he?
Well, if he wants to be out and about...
Oh, I see, if he wants to just not be Jimmy Page.
Yeah. He's some people might call it a costume.
Right, yeah.
But not to Jimmy.
Yeah. This is when he wants to go to Nando's unrecognised.
Well, he likes to go to Nando's after dark and... he just leaves the name Mr. Filth.
Yeah.
They know it's him.
Mr. Crowley. That'd be
Shall I tell you what Geezer Butler told me about how Black Sabbath came about?
Yes, please
the
do.
The reason it was, you know. Well, he was saying in the late 60s, as so many young people were back then, and now, but especially then, you know, really into sci-fi, really into rock, really into the occult. And he was like, I used to buy all these pamphlets. This is Geezer talking. Now, Geezer was the lyricist of Black
Sabbath. Yes, he was, yeah.
So he was the one that did all the reading. And he used to go to this shop in Notting Hill Gate called Middle Earth, which I remember as a young teenager was like hippie but heavy.
No, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like...
A shop called Middle Earth.
Yeah. It wasn't like, come on in, the water's fine. It was like... Yeah. Behold one who has come far. Anyway, he said, and he used to have all these upside down crosses and things. He said, and he was lying in bed one night, and he said, and this figure appeared at the foot of his bed, pointing at him like that.
Wow.
And I went, really? I said, he goes, honestly, as much as I can see you now, I saw him. I said, and what was he saying? He said, just sort of warning me about, you know, all that occult stuff. Really? I said, how do you mean? He said, well, he basically said to me, you know, piss off, you know?
Right, yeah.
Stop pissing around, just piss off. I went, oh, right. Message from the grave. He said, it terrified me.
Yeah.
He said, so the very next day he threw out the crosses. He said he painted his flat orange because everything had been black.
Right. Oh.
But he wrote a song about it. And the opening line was, what is figure stands before me?
Figure in black that points at me.
Stop pissing about.
Yeah. I don't think he used that line. But yeah, wow. Yeah. You know what that is? Because going back to the podcast...
The evil podcast.
Uncanny. The kind of setup is they've got a guy who's the investigator who's telling you the story. And then he has two assistants, one of whom is a skeptic and a scientist and one of whom is a... believer and an occultist,
right.
Well, not an occultist, but a researcher into power. Yeah. And they'll both offer, so you hear about a phenomenon, and they'll both offer an explanation of why that might have taken place.
Ah.
And one of the intriguing explanations, because the figure at the pointing at the bed is quite a common phenomenon.
Is it?
Yeah. And it is, they think, to do with sleep paralysis, which is where when your body goes into a dream state, an REM dream state, it actually locks down so that, you know, sometimes when you're not and you jump in your sleep,
like, yeah,
something going, your body locks down to stop you from doing that in dreams so you don't react to your dreams.
Oh.
Sometimes, very rarely, you can actually wake up still in that state, still envisioning the dream, but unable to move, which is in itself quite frightening.
Yeah. Otherwise known as alien visitation.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the most common things to see when you're in that state is a figure, which is quite alarming, yeah.
Well, you see, there's that explanation. And then, or there is the more plausible explanation. That is Satan,
yeah,
at the foot of the bed, yeah, pointing at you, giving you a warning to piss off.
Yeah.
Piss off.
Could be.
Like that.
Yeah.
Down.
Down. That's what Pagey wants you to know.
Sorry, what?
That's what Pagey wants you to know. He wanted you to piss off, that's for sure.
I think he still does, to be honest.
That's why he kept phoning you up during Match of the Day, saying he's going to put a spell on you.
I think we draw as a discreet veil.
Oh.
Discreet veil. For now, anyway. But I'm just trying to think, you know, is what's the most evil music?
I don't know, it's hard to say, isn't it? Because I think it's a mood thing, isn't it? You have to be in a certain space. It's like, I remember when I was a kid, you know, we used to have a car but didn't have a stereo in it at all. I had a car that didn't have a stereo at all.
No.
Right.
Didn't even have a stereo in the house.
So in the back, I had like a, it wasn't even big enough to be a ghetto blast.
A tape recorder.
Yeah, portable
tape recorder.
Well, no, it wasn't a tape, but it had two speakers and you put tape in the top.
Oh, so beatbox.
It would go quite loud, but it
rock
was.
Rock box.
Yeah, sort of precursor of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And quite often we'd be out like quite late at night. At
you'd be house. Out late at night,
yeah,
in
the car, because I'd give people lifts or whatever. And I used to quite like, I had a tape that had The Unexpected Guest on it, the Demon album, which we, a couple of the guys used to hang around with. We all really liked that album, so we used to play it like quite loud as we're driving along.
Late at night.
But what could happen was, because it was just a tape I'd done off my stereo, you know, of the album.
High quality, so,
yeah.
Like this pod.
So what you could mistakenly do, because it was dark in the car, was when you were pressing play, you could actually mistakenly press down play and record, which is obviously what happened. But I was driving along, coming home on my own. I remember the road I was on. Still drive down it sometimes now.
What you mean is you'll never forget the road.
No, never forget that road. And pressing play so I could listen to Demon, you know.
As
and
you
it's going,
do.
You know, it's like it's... they had this song called Don't Break the Circle, Don't Break the Circle, Don't. And you know what the circle was, obviously?
Yeah.
The circle that they all stand in.
Yeah.
And so it's Don't Break. And then because someone had pressed down play, and obviously I realised this later, Don't Break the Circle just stops. And all you hear, you remember that sort of slightly static hiss you'd hear because the recording went, so it would just be like... And then you'd hear a voice of, there was no one else in the car, but you'd hear a voice of one of my friends, who's obviously when it happened. Someone just speaking, you know. And it was like, I nearly drove off the bloody road. Jesus Christ.
Well,
yeah.
One of the scariest times for me was when me and Crusher, this has got to be like 84, Venom. Mighty Venom.
Yeah, yeah.
Known for such hits as In League
with
Satan.
Great song, yeah. With the chorus that goes, Evil in League with Satan.
See? Inspirational. Bob Dylan, take note.
Yeah.
They had... there was this, you know, it's the 84. We haven't got the social media. So there's always a little element of, oh, could it be true?
Yeah.
They presented themselves. They came into the Kerrang office, you know, Abaddon.
Yeah.
Kronos.
Yeah.
The other one.
Mantas.
Yeah. And we're going,
ooh, shit.
Because they're quite, Kronos,
Big
Geezer,
yeah.
And their album, The Seven Gates of Hell. Yeah. And they were going to do, they'd never toured, they'd probably played around, but they'd never been like an official Venom tour. And the first one, they went straight to like the Odeon.
Hammersmith Odeon.
Yeah. And it was known
as the seventh date of hell.
The seven dates of hell. And we went to the one at Hammersmith, which was supposed to be the seventh date. Turned out it was only the fifth date because two of them had been cancelled through lack of ticket sales. Right. But they had this huge upside down cross the stage lit up by bulbs, you know, right? Little bulbs all the way around. Red bulb, green bulb, red bulb. And about 10 minutes into the set, quite a few of the bulbs stopped working. Wow, that's a sign right there, mate.
Yeah.
Sign right there, you know. But no, it felt, I tell you what, it did feel evil. Different. Yeah. The energy.
Yeah, the energy was different.
The energy was different.
Yeah.
I miss Venom. Why don't they come back?
They should come back. Well, I suppose they were always like, given their due as the precursors of thrash metal, really, weren't they?
Totally.
They sound, when they came out, they didn't sound like anyone or anything else.
No. Yeah. Do you remember Bloodlust?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was just like that, wasn't it? Even Evil in League with Satan, it had that kind of weird drum beat behind it.
Like a monk in a robe.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah, Evil. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really evil. Weird. No one evil. Else was doing that stuff. Yeah.
Evil.
And then, you know, Lars. Hey, Lars. He liked Venom, didn't he? Stars. He liked Venom.
Yes. Well, I've always said Metallica, you know, completely ripped off Venom. And
you've always said that.
I think many of us have said that over the years, John.
Yeah.
Many.
Yeah.
Many, 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 many.
Yeah.
So, Halloween. I mean, I think if we accept Page as the real deal.
Because there was all that stuff. I mean, I know it's a bit in your book, but there was all the stuff. I mean, he buys Crowley's house and all of, you know, we know all
Beleskin that. House Beleskin on house the banks of Loch Lomond.
Again, by water. I thought it was by Loch Ness.
Say what?
I thought it was Loch Ness.
Didn't I say Loch Ness?
You said Loch Lomond.
Well, did I?
Yeah.
Sorry. I've got Loch confusion.
Yeah, you have.
Because there used
to
be a Loch Lomond music festival.
Oh, did they? Okay.
I think I only did it for like 1 year or something, 2 years, but we had Wild Horses on the bill.
Oh, right, yeah.
Brian Robertson, ex-Thin Lizzy, Jimmy Bain, ex-Rainbow, and I was their publicity guy, and we were desperate to get them publicity. And if you knew Robbo and Jimmy, I mean, they were like walking drug casualties. These are not guys you saw down the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Robbo, they would come in with bottles of brandy and whiskey and cocaine and, you know, they literally totter from the car to the office, back to the car, chauffeur driven. And we said that for the Loch Lomond Festival, they would be flying in on the day and parachuting from the plane into the backstage area of Loch Lomond. And we even said what time they were going to do it, right? It's like they were low on the bill. It's like they're on stage at 3, we're like at 2 p.m. sharp. Yeah. Yeah. Eyes to the sky. We've got in the Daily Record all these. Yeah. And needless to say, that didn't happen.
No. Well, clouds were too low that day.
The same time, we also said Robbo was hoping to meet up with an old childhood friend called, you know, Rabbi McTashinosh Octai the Dude. Yeah. You know, some made up fucking name. Yeah. They were, because on the lock, when Robbo was a young teenager, he was on a boat with his mate, Robbie McDuff.
Yeah.
And Robbo had fallen in. And his mate had dived in and saved his life.
Wow.
And if he would come to the backstage area, we would have passes for him. We'd bring him to Robbo because Robbo wanted to personally thank him.
That's a nice story.
It's a lovely story. I was reading it to Robbo. He goes, you fucking wanker. You fucking wanker. What's going to happen to some fucking... That's Irish, isn't it? What's going to happen if some fucking guy turns up and says, I'm Rabbi McTakanosh?
Yeah, what is going to happen? You hadn't thought of that, had you?
I didn't care, as long as it's in the paper.
Yeah.
It's in the paper.
Yeah.
Dude, it's in the paper. That's my job done, you see.
Yeah,
So why was I telling you that?
Because we're talking about Loch Lomond and Loch Ness.
Right. No, Loch Ness, yes. Beleskin House. It was had a very, very strange history, but it got stranger after Aleister Crowley bought it. And that has to be maybe the strangest venue in all of the British Isles, because Page had a friend who then lived there for 20-odd years as a sort of a caretaker.
Oh, God.
And he gave loads of interviews,
right.
which all kind of rang true, because he was kind of playing it down.
Right.
He was sick of people.
No, I'm not fucking terrified every time the lights go out. Yeah.
It was like that. I mean, he was saying, you know, you'd go in the room and all the furniture would be in the other room. Yeah, he said one night he heard like this terrible sort of scratching, clawing. Not like a little dog, but like a vicious animal.
Yeah.
He said, and all he had in his bedroom was a knife. And he sat there holding the knife, waiting for this thing to burst through the door, and it never did.
Yeah.
And eventually he fucking crept out there with the knife in his hand and nothing.
Jeez.
Nothing.
So was Pagey ever there? Or he just
Oh, yeah. I mean, Page used to say, any of my friends that have spent the night at Poleskin, they always come back changed people. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that wonderful man who became Page's personal collector of Crowleyana, he was telling me that the problem with Poleskin was that at one point Crowley and some others, you know, were doing what's known as the Abremelin ritual.
Yeah, sort of. You don't really want them round your house doing that. You know.
Even
if you're not a believer, they said, we're going to come round tonight and do the Abremelin ritual. You go, you know what? I'm washing my hair tonight.
Well, you know, you'd be like, hello, fellas.
Yeah.
We're going out for a drink, mate. So, yeah. First, we thought, you know, we'll maybe do a ritual. Quick Abremelin ritual.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, sure.
Haven't done one of those in ages. Yeah. The Abremelin ritual is one of the ultimates. It's very complicated.
Right.
It's the ritual killing of the sun. And Timothy, this chap, Dart Smith, said to me, he goes, the problem was they were about three quarters of the way through the Abremelin ritual. He said, and like something.
Can you stop saying it? Because I get the feeling it's like one of those things, if you say it three times, it's going to start happening.
Abremelin. He said they got about three quarters of the way through. Something happened. Somebody lost their shit and freaked out and ran away. And so they had to it was getting out of hand. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So they curtailed it.
But should you do that?
No, because you have invoked.
Exactly, yeah.
You have invoked. You
can't be messing with this
stuff.
What
you might call demons.
Yeah.
But you haven't put them back in the box. You haven't completed the ritual.
Yeah.
So now they're fucking running around.
Yeah.
And apparently that's where they remain. That's why the house is so fucking awful, because Crowley and his
mates.
Yeah.
But can you not do anti-Abremelin?
Well, you probably can. But he
didn't bother.
What, Page?
Yeah.
I think he probably, in the 70s, he probably loved it.
Right,
You know, I mean, the man once said, did I find the dark side or did the dark side find me? That's what Jimmy said.
But there was all that stuff about the fact that this is partly why Led Zeppelin broke up, apart from Bonham dying, was that Plant didn't like all of that.
No, absolutely. But you know, he put up with it when they were doing Led Zeppelin 2 was the biggest album in the world, or Led Zeppelin 4. What ultimately killed it for Plant was Page's heroin addiction,
right.
Which was, major. I mean, most of the problems with junkies is they spend their whole life trying to steal or get money to buy junk. When you're a mega millionaire and you've got a fucking bin liner full of it over there, you have no restrictions. There's no guilt, no shame. You're just in there. And, of course, it fucked everything up, because it will. You know, it isn't just the money and your teeth it fucks up. It's the universe. Heroin is evil. And I think it was that. Obviously, the big fight in 77 when Grant's boy got pushed over by a security guard. So Grant and Richard Cole locked this guy in a room and gave him a good talking to. That's so, honestly, loads of stuff. There were people that had been thrown down mine shafts and all kinds of stuff. Got bad, really bad. But Grant was an addict, Page was an addict, Bottom was an addict. You know, it was just like, you don't want to be around people like that. So I think, I mean, interestingly with Page, you know, he hooked up with Kenneth Anger.
He made the... was it that film he made, Lucifer Rising?
Yeah. He also, his previous movie, and you'll like this, was Invocation of My Demon Son.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
and in Lucifer Rising, there is, Jimmy Page is in Lucifer Rising.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's not starring Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
But there's also a picture of him on the wall and... And of course he wrote the soundtrack, recorded the soundtrack. I have the soundtrack.
Don't put it on.
It's fucking... I'm going to find it. It's probably on the net these days. But Page was going to do the soundtrack for Lucifer Rising, and he let Kenneth Anger live at the Tower in London, Holland Park? That gothic monumental masterpiece. And Anger did live there for a while he was editing the movie and all the rest of it. But this was Page, honestly, so out of it on heroin and just gone mad, really, that Kenneth Anger, who does take it very seriously, decides Page is like a dilettante. He's just a rock star druggie, and he's not taking it seriously. So they have this huge falling out, and Page throws him out. And when Page throws him out, Kenneth Anger curses Jimmy.
Oh,
because that's what rituals are for. They're either for, they come from fertility, so it's about will. It's about affecting outcomes. So every Led Zeppelin album, every Led Zeppelin event, Page did rituals to invoke a good outcome. You have to say it kind of worked. But the flip side was you could use this stuff to curse people. And there are different curses. And the curse, and I found this fascinating, that Anger placed on Jimmy Page, and Anger was for real, okay, was what they call the curse of King Midas.
Oh.
Which turns you into a gold statue. And so you are a gold, a gold statue. But you're a statue, you can't move. You are stuck forever in that place.
Right.
And I swear to God, John, that to me is the most persuasive rationale behind, not plausible explanation behind why Jimmy Page really has not moved on from those days. I mean, he did the two albums as The Firm. He did his solo album. He got together with Coverdale Page.
Yeah. Who can forget that?
All of these were purely to somehow move him one step closer to reforming Led Zeppelin. And that's where he is today. The man hasn't released any newly recorded music since 1997.
Right,
he is King Midas. He's golden, baby, but...
Wow.
That's it. No more short issue.
That's spooky.
Would you say that's spooky, or would you say that was...
Yeah, it was a bit more like that, actually, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And on that bombshell, we can now wish you all...
We can close the ritual.
May you bob for apples.
Complete the circle.
We're going to complete the circle.
Yeah.
And we leave you with this thought, this pledge, this dark wish. Always bob for your apples.
Bob? I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, when you go in there, get the apples.
Oh, right. What are you talking
Halloween.
About?
They do it on
That's
Halloween.
Not Halloween, is it?
Yeah, the apples in the water bobbing. When I was a kid, that was Halloween. You know, you would nearly drive.
I thought Halloween's going around to people's houses, driving them mad for sweets.
No. That's American. That only came in here like in the 90s.
Mm.
I'm talking proper Halloween.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like me and the urchins on the cobbled streets of occult London.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
Bobbing for apples, that was all you did on Halloween. And it was horrendous because you'd be drowning. You ever tried to get an apple out of a fucking water basin? It's fucking impossible. It's Satan's work is what it is. These little kids are like 7 years old. Water going in their lungs and eyes. And no one ever got an apple.
Man.
Evil. Yes. So on that note.
Goodbye.
Or is it just.
Farewell.
Or is it just? Hang on. Right. And I'll, go on, John. On that note. Go on, John.
Goodbye. Oh,
God. Yeah. Sorry, go on, John. On that note.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How do I stop this, Fern?